The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.
Okay, let's move to the United States of America. Cal Thomas and Marion McKeown are with us. Cal Thomas, in the last hour or so, Donald Trump has, for some reason, allowed cameras in to the Oval Office to broadcast live his meeting with Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer, in which he has done things like say, "You don't give me the money for my wall with Mexico and I will shut down government." This is reality TV brought to a whole new level, isn't it?
Yeah, I just watched it, Matt. It just concluded. They had a private meeting first, of course, and then, as you said, the president brought in the cameras. That happens with every president, but this one went beyond what most presidents experience. It was a very strong debate between the president, the incoming Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi, and Chuck Schumer, the Senate Minority Leader, with Vice President Pence sitting there and saying nothing. It was really extraordinary. Trump called it transparency when Nancy Pelosi protested about the cameras airing all of this in public, but I think it was very good. I think it was very democratic with a small d, and we should see more of this kind of stuff. All of these closed meetings and things done in secret are not really what the American public want to see. They want to see these issues debated openly. Now, this whole business about shutting down the government is such a sham. The government doesn't really shut down. Social Security checks mostly go out. This is all a political theater where the cameras will go to national parks and they'll be closed due to government shutdown signs, and both sides will be blaming each other. We've seen this over and over again over several administrations. They've got a continuing resolution right now through December. I think it's just before Christmas, where the money keeps rolling in. We've got this huge debt and deficit, you may have noticed, but the government keeps on spending. It will in this case too, even if there is a so-called shutdown.
Cal, I'm going to surprise you now by telling you that I agree with you that this transparency is terrific. It's the greatest transparency ever because it allows us to see what an almighty gob whatever Donald Trump is. And can I go to you in this one, Marion McKeown? I see Chuck Schumer said when he got outside the meeting, this temper tantrum that he seems to throw will not get him his wall. Isn't that remarkable that he actually brings in the cameras and then throws what is characterized as a temper tantrum?
But, you know, that's exactly what it was, Matt. And the most revealing thing, I think, that Chuck Schumer said is when they start talking about the 2018 election, and he said when the president brags that he won North Dakota and Indiana, he's in trouble. And, you know, this. But the thing is, this happens with the Trump administration all the time. This is a sideshow, and we all get hugely entertained by it, and we all get, you know, diverted by it. What Donald Trump is doing with this, and make no mistake, he wants people to stop talking about Mueller. He wants people to stop talking about the fact that 16 of his Trump people have been in contact with the Russians. He wants people to stop talking about Michael Cohen. And, you know, by doing something like this, by deliberately, you know, inviting the cameras to pick a fight with Chuck and Nancy, he's doing two things. Firstly, he's showing his base, look, I'm tough here. Look at me being tough. I'm threatening. I'm going to get the military to build a wall if I don't get my way. And he's also then ensuring that journalists like us end up talking about this instead of the stuff that really matters.
Well, we get to the stuff that really matters in a second. But I want to ask you, I mean, Cal, you're a good friend of Vice President Mike Pence. I even saw you putting up photographs online in recent days. I've been at his Christmas party in recent days. But he sat there mute. And there's all these stories flying around the place that he's the next man for the chop. That when Trump is planning his re-election campaign, he ain't going to have Mike Pence by his side. He's going to have a different nominee for Vice President. What do you make of that?
Well, the last news conference, a reporter asked him, are you going to run for re-election with Mike Pence as your vice president? And the president responded, well, gee, I hadn't even thought about it. He turns to the vice president. He says, Mike, you want to be on the ticket? And Pence said, yes. He said, okay, he's on the ticket. Yeah, I was with him the other night at his Christmas reception. I'm going to be with President Trump Thursday night at his Christmas reception, even though apparently there's not going to be one for the press for the first time in many years. Gee, I wonder why.
How did you get in, so? How are you getting in?
Because, well, I don't know. I got grafted in by a different group. Look, I've met every president, as you know, since JFK, and I've met some I like, and I've met some I don't like. But, you know, Christmas is Christmas, and we put things aside, and it's all, you know, the spirit of the happy holiday and all that sort of thing. But if I get a picture, I'll send it to you.
Yeah, but be careful now. There's a vacancy as chief of staff, and it doesn't seem like anyone wants the job. Be careful you don't get tapped up and brought out of your retirement, Cal.
I couldn't. I'm not in retirement. I'm still working.
You're true. That's true. So you are eligible for the job.
Yeah, well, I couldn't afford the pay cut, Matt.
Marion, is he going to find anyone? I know you're talking about chief of staff at the White House isn't something that really you would talk about on Irish radio, but it is significant, isn't it? Given the turnover of people and given the lack of adults in the rooms in the White House, when you have somebody like John Kelly going, what the hell is going to happen in a dysfunctional White House when there is no adult in the room?
Well, completely, because chief of staff, just for the listeners, you know, the vice president is basically a nothing job. It's the cutting the ribbons, going to overseas funerals. The chief of staff is the president's deputy. He's the person with the power. And John Kelly, who I think was an absolutely atrocious chief of staff, and I'm quite glad to see him going. He was a divisive, misogynistic bully. He was a racist. He was a bigot. He enabled all that's the worst in Donald Trump, so no loss there. But Nick Ayers, who Donald Trump, you know, the 35-year-old whiz kid, who's currently Mike Pence's chief of staff, who's very, very ambitious, he was supposed to come in and take his place, and he was a big favourite of Ivanka and Jared Kushner, and then he turned around and said, no, sorry, don't want the job, after they had written the press release to say he was taking it. My take on this is that Nick Ayers is too smart to walk into this absolute swamp, because look what's coming down next year. The Democrats are in control of the House. There are going to be multiple investigations. The Mueller report will be out. There will possibly be impeachment proceedings, God knows. Any chief of staff who wanders into that, and as well, it's a thankless job working for Donald Trump. And, you know, saying to Mike Pence, do you want to be on the ticket? He will drop Mike Pence like a hot potato if something else comes along. If people say to him, no, if you're, you know, to win this, you've got to have Nikki Haley as vice president, or you've got to have somebody else as vice president. Donald Trump has no loyalty to anyone but himself.
Okay. You want to talk about Michael Cohen and Paul Manafort. Talk to us about them.
This is me now, or Cal?
Oh, that's you.
Well, okay. Yeah, you know, the whole thing is... I don't know where this is going from here. We already know that Donald Trump directed Michael Cohen, his personal lawyer, to commit two felonies. Okay, that is a given. Now, that was in the Department of Justice sentencing memo on Michael Cohen. The Department of Justice, there is absolutely no way, and I've spoken to several people who work for the Department of Justice, there is no way that they would put that in that if they didn't have other corroborating evidence. They would never accuse the President of the United States of directing felonies on the say-so of, you know, a convicted felon, which is what Michael Cohen is, and a proven liar. So Michael Cohen is no hero in this piece. So there is other corroborating evidence. Clearly, Donald Trump's chief financial officer, Alan Weisselberg, has been cooperating. So has Donald Trump's great friend, David Pecker, of the National Enquirer fame, and his deputy. So it's pretty clear that it is, you know, that Donald Trump did direct Michael Cohen to violate campaign finance laws. Now, this might seem like a small thing. Campaign finance laws are violated all the time, but not in the way that this was done, not to pay off a porn star and a Playboy model as a cover-up so that you could win the election, to influence the outcome of the election, and that's where it's key here. So this Paul Manafort, I mean, who knows what's going to happen there? He did a double bluff. He told the Mueller people that he was cooperating with them. Apparently then he was feeding back information to the White House and lying all the time. So the book is going to be thrown at him, absolutely. Cohen will probably get 3 or 4 years in prison. But, you know, we're so inured now to all of this, Matt. We're talking here about Donald Trump's campaign manager and Donald Trump's private lawyer and also his national security advisor. Let's not forget about Mike Flynn, who was also convicted of lying. You know, I don't know. Nobody knows except for Robert Mueller and his team whether or not there was collusion and conspiracy.
Okay,
with the
we're nearly out of time.
Like it.
Cal Thomas, I want to put a last one to you. The sort of the shock jock Rush Limbaugh yesterday read a text out on his radio show stating that Trump is the last defence against socialism that the establishment would have imposed on the country had Hillary been elected. Did you write that text?
No, of course I didn't, Matt. Gee whiz, if he's the last defense against socialism, then what happens when he leaves? You know, I think there is a big wave of socialism attitudes among the millennials especially and their kids. But, you know, when reality strikes, when they see that the USA is not an ATM, hopefully we'll revert to the capitalism that has served us and so many other nations so well.
Cal Thomas, Marion McKeown, thank you very much. We'll be talking to you again next week in our final Tuesday show before Christmas, and we'll review the year in America. What a year it's been.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.